Who's there?
Barbara.
And Tanya.
Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. I'm baking challah, so I don't know how long I'll be able to stay on. I may be back and forth.
That's all right.
I'm going to be muting the phone. The kids are... playtime.
The kids are good.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. We're starting. We're reading from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Ha'alotcha, section, verse 12. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononehu. Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Yosef v'Rabbi Yitzchak Avoaz Lehi Biorcha Agu Ba'inun Ture Cardo Ad Havo Azle Zakaf Eno Rabbi Elazar Vichameinun Ture De Ramae Vahavo Kashokan Vadachalan Vichilu Amar Rabbi Elazar Leinun Havraya Ilu Abba Akala Hava Dachilna Aval Kevan Dianan Telata Umile Dioraita Benana Dina Hakala Ishtakach. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzhak were going along their way. They reached those mountains of darkness, while traveling. Rabbi Elazar raised his eyes and saw those lofty mountains, and they were dark and awesome and frightful. Rabbi Elazar said to his friends, "If my father was here, I would not be frightened. Yet since we are three and are speaking of Torah among us, no judgment will prevail here." So do you think that they were walking on the earth? Today is the 13th day of Sivan. This is the day that Moses was called up to the mountain. And he spent 39 days there. It was supposed to come down on the 17th of Tammuz, but we couldn't wait that extra half a day. And we built the golden calf. But why was he called up today, the 13th of the third month? As students of Kabbalah, it's something for you to consider, something for you to know, something for you to experience. And this Zohar that we're reading today is starting out by talking about the mountains of darkness. Is that a place on earth? Have you ever heard of mountains of darkness on earth? Maybe it is. Or maybe it's a different dimension. Or maybe it's a different world. Maybe it's a different world in the solar system, a different world in the universe, a different world in the Milky Way, a different world in a different dimension. We go where we want to go. And that want can be on the level of our unconscious or the level of our conscious. Where do you go when you meditate? Yes, I know you go generally within yourself. But what does it mean to be within yourself? And where is that place? Sometimes you return from a meditation with information right at the tip of your tongue, right in the forehead of your forefront of your consciousness. And sometimes you just can't remember what took place. Doesn't mean you didn't go someplace. This is all part of the system that we all have to learn eventually, if not this lifetime, the next lifetime. Verse 13. Patach Rabbi Elazar v'amar ketiv v'atanach ha-teva v'chodesh ha-shvi'i v'gomer al hare ararat v'gomer ema chavivin mile d'oraita divko mila umila it razin ilain d'oraita kola ila'a ikre v'tanenan bit lesar makilan d'oraita kol divar shachaya b'chlau v'yetza min hachlau l'lamed lo l'lamed al atzmo yatza ela l'lamed al hachlau kulo yatza deha oraita d'ihi kela la ila'a a'agid nafik mina had sipur Yalma vadai la yate leachaza'a al hahu tzipur ela leachaza'a milin ilain virazin ilain velo lalamed al atzmo yatza ela lalamed al hachlal kulo yatza begin Dehahu sipur deoraita, o hahu obada, aagidehu nafka, miklala deoraita, lav deachaza'a al garme, nafak bal bilvad ela leachaza'a, al hahu kalala, Ila adio raita, kola nafak. Rabbi Elazar opened the discussion with the verse, and the ark rested in the seventh month upon the mountains of Ararat. How beloved are the words of Torah, that each and every word has lofty secrets, and the entire Torah is considered supernal. We learned in the Baraita of the 13 qualities of the Torah. Whatever is part of the whole, yet it is an exception, it is so in order to teach a general rule, not teach merely about itself. Since the Torah is the highest generality, even though a simple story is an exception to the rule, its function most certainly is not merely to tell us just that story, but rather to demonstrate the highest matters and the utmost secrets. It is not considered as an exception so as to teach about itself, but rather to demonstrate a general rule, since that story of the Torah, or that occurrence, although it stands to itself outside the Torah, did not come to show this alone, but rather came to demonstrate the general law of the entire Torah. What an amazing verse from the Zohar. It's saying there are 13 ways of understanding this Torah. One of those ways is to take a look at the Torah, what it says generally, and then when it says an exception, that exception that it's bringing to our attention is actually a new general rule. I'm not going to give an example of this, but it's a very powerful learning. everything in the Torah, even if it seems to be an exception, is not an exception. It's giving you a different frame of reference. It's giving you some aspect of relativity. And that's what is hinted at in this verse in the Zohar. Verse 14. Kegon ha'edaktiv Tanach ha'teva ba'chodesh ha'shvi'i b'shiva sar yom la'chodesh al harei. Ararat v'dai ha'kira miklala deoraita nafak deate besipur dealva mai ikpat lan ishare behai o behai deha deatar hadlishre elalalamed al haklal kulo yatsa vizakain inun yisrael deit yahiv. Lehu oraita ilaha, oraita dikshot, uman di amar, dehahu sipura, di oraita leachaza'a, al hahu tzipur, bilvad ka'ate tipach, ruche de'i hakri, lavi'i oraita, ilaha oraita, Dikshot Ela Vadai Oraita Kadisha Ila A Ihi Oraita Dikshot. For example, it is written, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Most likely, this scriptural verse is an exception to the generality of the Torah, and came to relate a simple story. He asked, what do we care if it landed on this mountain or on that mountain? It had to rest somewhere. He responds, it is only to instruct us on the general as a whole that it was specified, since it alludes to a time of judgment, as we've mentioned before. Praised are Israel that the loftiest Torah was granted to them, a Torah of truth. Whoever says that this Torah story is mentioned simply to relate only that story alone, may he breathe his last, Chas v'Shalom, because then it is not supernal. Torah, the Torah of truth, but most certainly the holy Torah, the loftiest, is a Torah of truth. The ark rested on the seventh, in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountain of Ararat. The name or the word Ararat I haven't really looked at the word, but it just came to me as coming from the Shoresh having to do with curses. But I don't think that's right. I'd have to look at it. But clearly the name has some meaning. It has a shorash in Hebrew, or maybe a couple of shorashim. The 17th day always relates to goodness. Even the 17th day of Tammuz was and will be with Mashiach a day of happiness, a day of goodness. But 17 is the gematria of Tov, which is good. The seventh month is Tishrei. The seventh month is the holidays of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, Hoshana Rabbah, Simchat Torah, the 22 days of building our own vessel for the year. All of these are giving us frames of reference to understand this exception story is really talking about general rules. general aspects that the Torah comes to teach us. Verse 15. Tachatze melech bava lav yikara dile hu le'ishtae miladeh et yota tafshin le'mikdav le'vei salik v'da'atach d'ma'oka ila'a kucha barichu l'ahavo le'milin kadishin Lemiktav umabad minaihu, O raita eladihu, kanish kol milin, deched yotin, kigon milin di aesav, milin di hagar, milin di lavan, di yakov, milin di atun, milin di bilam, milin di valak, Milin de Zimri, the Kanish Lehu, the Kosha Ar Sipurin, Diktivin, the Aved Minaihu, O Raita. Come and see, there is a king of flesh and blood. It is no honor for him to have simple talk, and almost certainly to write these simple things down. Could you imagine if the exalted king, the Holy One, blessed be he, had no holy things to write about with which to produce the Torah, but he merely gathered all the simplest matters, such as the utterings of Esau, the utterings of Hagar, the utterings of Lavan to Jacob, the utterings of the mule, the utterings of Bilam, the utterings of Balak, and the utterings of Zimri. And then he gathered them and all the stories that were and made a Torah out of them. When you think about it, even those stories, talking about what Laban said to Jacob, what Jacob said back to Laban, what Esau said to Jacob, what Esau did in his travels, all of these words of Torah, these letters of Torah, are coming to teach us lessons. They're coming to teach us not morality, but the way the spiritual system works. They're not just negative people that are being spoken about. It doesn't make sense, and that's what the Zohar is teaching us. It doesn't make sense to think that they're telling us that this is what Hagar said. It doesn't make sense that it's teaching us this is what Laban did or Esau did. It doesn't make sense that the Creator would put this kind of nonsense into a book and then tell you this is truth. Does it matter what they said in my life today? But every verse in the Torah, every letter in the Torah, every word in the Torah, coming to teach you something in your life today. God is speaking to you every Shabbat morning when you listen to the Torah. The fact that you don't understand what he's saying is your responsibility to change yourself so that you can get that intuitive message. Verse 16. I hakim amai igre torat emet torat Hashem tamima Edut Hashem ne'emana, Pikudei Hashem yesharim, Mitzvat Hashem bara yirat, Hashem tehora, Mishpatei Hashem, Emet, Uktiv hanechem madim, Mizahav upi paz, Rav Elaine Nun Mile Dioraita Ela Vadai Oraita Kadisha Ila'a Ihu Oraita Dikshot Torata Shem Tamima Bekol Mila Umila Atia Leachaza'a Milini La'in Dehahu Mila Dehahu Tzipur La Viachaza'a Al Garme Bilvad Ka'ate Ela Leachaza'a Al Hahu Kelala Ka'ate Kima Diokimna. If so, why is it referred to as the Torah of Truth? The Torah of Hashem is perfect. The testimony of Hashem is sure. The statutes of Hashem are right. Statutes. The commandments or the mitzvot of Hashem are pure. The fear of Hashem is clean. The judgments of Hashem are true. More to be desired are they than gold. Even much fine gold. These words refer to Torah matters. Most certainly the holy, loftiest Torah is the Torah of truth, since the Torah of Hashem is perfect. Every individual word comes to designate the highest things, since that specific matter which is in its story is not here to teach about itself alone, but rather to imply the overall aspect, as we have explained. The Torah of truth, the Torah is perfect. So how do we have a process that implies it can change, we can change, which implies that we are not perfect? If we change, it means that we were not perfect. How do we reconcile this? And by now you should truly understand the way to reconcile this is to realize that it's perfect at that moment. Because each moment the Creator is recreating the creations. And at that moment, what is taking place in the process is perfect, or the process, because the process is not complete. The fruit that comes as a bud on a tree, it's green, it's bitter, it's not tasty. But it is in a process. That fruit, that bitter green bud that grows into a sweet, juicy fruit is perfect at its moment. And the fact that it grows into the perfect, sweet, juicy fruit is also perfect. And that's true of our own lives. Our lives are perfect. Perfect. It's not that I want something else. That desire that I have, I want something perfect for that moment of creation, for that part of the process. So I have a lack. I feel lousy because I have a lack. I'm hungry and there's no food in the house. Tired and I can't go to sleep because I have these responsibilities. This is perfect. So why am I complaining? So why do I say this is not perfect? Because I'm manifesting a desire to receive for oneself alone. Chas v'shalom. And as soon as I realize that, start to change it, the next moment the creation that is created anew is giving me pleasure, is giving me the fulfillment. Welcome to the spiritual system. Verse 17. Come and see, and the ark rested. This verse is true, as will be explained, and as are others, most certainly. At the moment that judgment hangs over the world, and judgments prevail, the Holy One, blessed be He, sits on the throne of judgment to put the world on trial. Through that throne, how many notes are recorded on it? How many verdicts are stored on it in the bag of the king? All the open books were stored there, and therefore nothing was forgotten by the king. That throne is not ready and is not available save during the seventh month. Then is the day of judgment a day in which all the people in the world are counted and everyone passes before the throne. Hence the ark rested. Malchut, that is referred to as an ark, rested in the seventh month. Most certainly the seventh month, which is when the judgment of the world comes. Does Malchut rest in the seventh month? We all run to the synagogue to hear the shofar. Is that resting? The Torah is a Torah of truth. The ark rested. The ark rested in the seventh month. What is it coming to show us, to teach us, to explain to us? Yes, the ark is Malchut. Malchut does rest in the seventh month. It's a frame of judgment. So the less that we do in the physicality, the less chaos we're going to have in our whole year. The more that we do spiritually in the seventh month, the more that Malchut can be fulfilled. The Torah is a Torah of truth. Verse 18. Al hare ararat ilein marehon dedinim marehon divavav yilala Dekulhu shalichin bechahu. Yoma kameku chabarichu. Vekama mare parisin. Itaru bechai. Yoma uvekulhu kaime. Kechot hahu korsia. Bedina di alma. Upon the mountains of Ararat. Ararat is derived from Arur. English translation of Arur is cursed, indicating those prosecutors who whine and wail and all those emissaries that are present on that day before the Holy One, blessed be He. How many shielding ones are awakened on that day? And they all stand under that throne when the world is on trial. Ararat, the cursed mountain. But what happens? The prosecutors whine and wail, and that's why it's called curse. Because they're trying to curse, but they're not successful. Because the shielded ones are also awakened. Because their job is to protect. And when the frame of reference is curse, they're protecting. Or is it that the curse is a blessing? And that's the meaning of the shielding ones who are the prosecutors. Both are correct. It becomes your consciousness that decides. Verse 19. The Israel Mitzalan Tzolota Behahu Yoma Uva Anu Matchanan Kame Letakin the Shofar the Kuchabarichu Chayes Alaihu Chapech Bina Lerachame Bekol Ilae Betatae Padche Viamre Ashre Ha'am Yode v'toruwa v'yad b'yena v'ha'u Yoma d'ha'u y'pita m'kya V'yada ikra ikara V'mila v'ikavan b'y b'y'truwa V'yabid mila v'chachmata V'yad k'tiv ashrei Aam yode teruwa, v'laketiv toke, teruwa v'ha itmar. And Israel put forth their prayers on that day, and beg and beseech before him, and blow the shofar. The Holy One, blessed be He, has mercy for them, and reverses judgment to mercy. All the upper and lower beings are happy. All the upper and lower beings say, happy is the people that know the joyful note. It is therefore required on that day that whoever blows should be familiar with the main secrets of these matters. He should concentrate on the blowing and expedite the matters with the highest wisdom. Therefore it is written, happy is the people that know the joyful note and not that blow the joyful note. We have already explained this. The Torah is a Torah of truth. What is the meaning of happy are the people who know the joyful note, who understand the inner essence of blowing of the shofar and how that protects you from this time of judgment. Just hearing the shofar without knowing the inner essence is not a complete protection. And the person blowing the shofar, if they don't know why they're blowing it, the inner essence, all of the people that are of hearing their sounds become hurt, become unprotected. And that's why God created the Mercy Day of Yom Kippur, which cleanses everything. All of those judgments get cleansed on Yom Kippur 10 days later. The Torah is a Torah of truth. Does anybody have any questions? That's the end of the section. We will be doing this again in tomorrow at 3:00. So I'll send out a text again. If you have any questions, if not, have a beautiful evening, beautiful afternoon. We'll speak to you all soon.
Shalom.